about the Cinzia and its contents. You are to travel incognito in order to minimize our apparent interest in the sale. You will report what you find to me directly, and I will decide what to do with that information. You will leave this evening." Her voice was brisk and matter-of-fact, belying the significance of her words. This was a major assignment, cutting through the thick of a complex political knot. Were he to fail, it would reflect badly on the Jedi Order, and perhaps hinder the entire war effort. The responsibility was considerable. Coming so soon after his disappointment of that morning, however, it was impossible to silence a nagging, doubtful voice.
"Are you sure I'm the right choice?"
he asked, dragging the words out as though they were made of lead.
"After all, the Council believes me unfit for the trials. There must be someone else better qualified who can do this for you."
"Are you telling me you don't want to go, Shigar? That you're not ready?"
He bowed his head to hide his mingled pride and uncertainty.
"I trust your judgment, Master. Better than my own."
"Good, because I believe my reasoning is sound. Your face is unknown on Hutta. You will therefore find it easier to pass unnoticed. And I have faith in you. Remember that. I am certain that this is the path laid down for you."
"So you have seen something?"
He tried to read her expression in the flickering lights of the city. She could have been amused, concerned, or completely blank. It was hard to tell. Perhaps all three. He swore to himself that he would make her proud.
"What about the situation here? The gangs, the poverty?"
"That's the responsibility of the local authorities," she said, fixing him with a firm stare. "They are doing their best."
He heard the warning in her voice. The Jedi's role in the galaxy led them outward, to Tython. He had been told many times before that the Republic's many social problems should not be his, even if this time Mandalorians were involved. Until Mandalore declared himself a particular enemy of someone, he could be considered more or less neutral.
"Yes, Master."
"Go now. There's a shuttle waiting for you."
Shigar bowed and went to walk away.
"Be kind, Shigar," his master added. "Some roads are harder than yours have been."
When he turned back, Satil Shan was gone. Vanished into the night as though she had never been there at all. With relief, Lorin saw Shigar striding along the thoroughfare toward her. He had been gone less than half an hour, but it felt much longer than that. After the encounter with the Senate security officers, she had spoken to no one and avoided catching anyone's eyes, feeling more out of place than ever. When he returned, she promised herself, and when he had finished assuring her that he had spoken to his master about the situation down below, and she would do something about it, Lorin could vanish back down her hole again, just as the Zabrak had advised her to. It wasn't that she thought the Zabrak was right. On the contrary, she just didn't know where to fit in anymore up here. At least she had something to do in the old districts. Ever since her discharge, she had committed herself to protecting the weak and disenfranchised, those whom even the Justicars ignored, to the extent her meager resources allowed. Unlike the Justicars, she was interested in something more important than territory. And if that meant working alone, so be it.
"How did it go?"
she asked Shigar when he reached her.
"Well, I think."
"Are you sure about that?"
She didn't know.